We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors. It's time for Laurie and Lynn. Local talk to start your weekend right. And now, Laurie and Lynn on WILK.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm just fine, thank you. What's going on in your world?
Well, we have the Camp Healing Hearts happening at Hospice of the Sacred Heart this week. This is this from the 13th to 17th. it's an arts camp for children who are dealing with grief. And it's a beautiful, beautiful program, second year in. And it is a wonderful artist. Joanne Arduino kind of heads the show on that. Michelle Conaboy, Julie Jordan, Catherine Squoven, Jack McGuigan, my sister Barbara, had some plants and things for the kids. Barbara wasn't able to do it, but participated in getting everything there for them. And Brenda Bistocchi and Mary Jo Prino for the culinary arts. So
nice
group of wonderful people who all are doing a great job. Today, WBRE, Mark Hiller was there doing a health beat report.
Mm-hmm.
And Kat Bolas and Butchie Comedies from the Scranton Times where they are interviewing and photographing everything. So at this point, it'll be you're listening to us on Saturday, so you'll already kind of have read that. But it's just been it's a wonderful week for these kids and the counselors and the sponsors. And it's just been great because, of course, we had the Northeast Healthcare Alliance was one of the sponsors, New York Life, Fidelity Bank, Pegnati Enterprises, and ERA, One Source Realty, along with Dan Simrell Advertising. So we had a nice group of people helping us out there, which we thank you. And Butchie and Kat were standing there. I didn't get to talk to Mark because I had to leave to come here. But they were saying, like Butchie said, oh, my God, I can't believe what is happening here. And to use the arts to help these children get through their grief is amazing. And they kind of put all their energy into the arts and make it happen. And it was so great last year. And so to see it again is just amazing. Jennifer Seachuk is the director of she's bereavement, director of bereavement for hospice. And they do a great job. So.
I think that's just a wonderful idea. It's just such a good thing.
It's been the idea, you know, was conceptualized with us maybe January of last year and brought to life in last August. Mm-hmm. And here it is again this August. So
and where is this held?
Right at the Center for Education, which is at on Montage Mountain Road.
Okay.
So it's held there for the week. And then on Friday, which was yesterday as you're listening, but Friday afternoon, we have the families and the kids come and do a performance of what they've learned and exhibiting their art and such at the Scranton Cultural Center up in Shopland Hall. And then Fidelity Bank's ice cream truck, Sweets and Treats, will be outside after the performance for them. So it's
really
a great
nice.
Way to end the week.
That's really nice. And thankfully, we've had some dry days this
week.
Well,
and they're inside, though, so it doesn't matter. So that worked out okay.
But you can't get the truck inside, can you?
What?
No,
it'll be outside for that part. But hopefully on Friday, which you're listening, hopefully it didn't rain yesterday.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know. But it's a good thing. So we're all happy.
That's good.
Yep. So
anything else? The walk?
That's coming up in September 29th, the third annual remembrance walk for hospice at McDade Park, which is great. And So that's available to, you can go online. I think it's hospicesacredheart.org, www.hospicesacredheart.org. And the information is there online to pre-register. Groups and are welcome. Pets are welcome. Kids, it's a great, and it's only a mile around the beautiful pond up there. So it's a very peaceful, peaceful morning. So that's coming up. Yeah, so there's a lot going on. And of course, you know, not breaking any hip as I usually do, but my mother is in the hospital. So anybody out there listening, to say a few prayers for Ann Cadden, RN.
There we go.
She's in Moses Taylor, and she's getting great care, I must say. So, and that's been my week of craziness. And of course, while you're listening, I will be driving the youngest. We were teasing the other day with my nieces and nephews. I said, they were talking about favorite kids. And I said, I have a favorite child. And they said, you do? And I said, yes, I have a favorite. It's my oldest child and my youngest child.
Oh, that was a very nice answer.
Diplomat that I am.
That was good.
Yes. But anyway, I will be driving my youngest to Yale.
Your youngest favorite child.
Yeah, my youngest favorite to Yale Law School. You heard me say Yale.
Yeah.
He starts on Monday, but we will be taking him. As you're listening, we will be driving to New Haven.
Nice. Very nice.
So he's all excited, and he has a week break the beginning of October. So he'll be, it's only like a little over 3 hours, so it's not a bad ride up 84.
Mm-hmm.
Right up 84, baby.
Indeed.
So, and talked to my oldest favorite first child too the other day. He's doing pretty good, hanging in there, loving his life out in California. Loves
and
it.
And
he loves it, loves it.
He's not affected by any of the wildfires?
No.
That's good.
Thank God.
Yeah. So, what does he love? He's in San Francisco,
yes,
right?
Yes, of course. So why wouldn't you love it?
Yeah,
right?
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. He has a great apartment, and he's just digging that whole, he just loves the climate, loves the everything about it.
That's great. It's nice to hear somebody say that. They love a place.
Mm-hmm, he does.
A couple of weeks ago.
I want him to love the East Coast more and come back.
We'll
see what happens.
A couple of weeks ago, I think I'd mentioned that one of my mom's friends, one of the last ones still alive, Paula Costanzo, died. And her daughter, Debbie, who is a month old, younger than me, she came in and she lives in Phoenix. And she was saying to me after we had the viewing was over, we went back to her sister's house and sitting around chatting. I hadn't seen her in quite some time. And she said to me how much she loves Phoenix, how much she loves living there.
See?
She absolutely loves it. She said, the only thing is, I really miss family so much. And I wish there was a way I could get them here.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, I just can't get over the difference in how much I love the area and where I live. And I said, well, why do you have to feel guilty? I mean,
well, no, but pretty soon the Jetsons' life is going to be here, and we'll be able to zip through as quickly as could be from here to there, and it won't seem like it's that far. When is the Jetsons' life coming our way, really?
Oh,
I mean, they were so ahead of their time.
I know.
Right?
I know.
And let's get it, because I want, the first thing I want from the Jetsons,
what do you
Rosie.
Want?
Oh! I love Rosie.
I want the dog walk that's outside.
Well, when they keep going around.
They had many great, cool things that they came up with. What I love about that is
Some
Jetsons.
Some of it is here now.
Like, I know.
People on the screen when you call.
Yes.
And, yeah.
That was done at the same time they did the Flintstones.
Yeah.
Which was the same idea,
company, right? Same.
But it was just taking something from a long time ago and making it be something that's contemporary. And yet, then you take something that's contemporary and make it futuristic. It was just fascinating.
Somebody told me, I'm trying to remember. Oh, what's his name? Leonard Bernstein, how do you say his name? You know
Bernstein.
Who he is, right? Well,
yeah.
His daughter was interviewed on Sunday for the Sunday morning, CBS Sunday morning, and she was, because they have a museum in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure exactly where, and she said that she knew her father was something big when when Wilma and Betty talked about him on the Flintstones.
Oh.
I God, then they showed the little clip of what they said. It was so funny.
That is funny. She said,
we knew my father was big then.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I always still use a Flintstone line when I say I'm so tired, I feel like I have to put toothpicks in my eyes to hold them open, because Fred was supposedly had taken some kind of medicine that he shouldn't have, and he wasn't allowed to go to sleep, so they had to try to keep him up, and Wilma decided that if she put toothpicks in me... in his eyes, there was like to hold the lids up that would work. Of course, it didn't. And he never took the medicine, so they did it. It was always,
I was going to say, they didn't have medicine then.
No, what did he take? Some kind of something he was supposed to, if I recall correctly. But then he had, and he kept going to sleep. So I always feel like I need to do the Fred Flintstone.
That's good.
Yeah. So Fred Flintstone, the Jetsons, we're all talking about everything good, huh? Pretty soon we'll be talking about the Roadrunner and Matt, who's our favorite, Dastardly and Muttley.
Oh, yes, Dastardly and Muttley.
Because Patrick A. DiNapoli looks and laughs just like Muttley.
Yes.
That's what he does with the teeth showing.
You don't even get the sound for him. It's not even a sound.
I'm making the sound for him.
Well, okay, and so we have to say what's going on with Patrick A. DiNapoli, who last week, thank you for covering for me on that day, last week he actually fell backwards from the top of our steps, down 12 steps, and somehow or other he just kind of landed on his back.
Perfectly.
Yes.
He stuck the landing.
Yes, he did. I'll have to tell him that.
That's right.
He stuck the landing.
Perfect 10 on that.
Yes. No broken bones, believe it or not. Just a couple bruises, you know, where he hit certain parts of his anatomy against something. And finally, I called 911, got him to the hospital. And they discovered that he has several blood clots in his lungs.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did a lot of work immediately on that. And now he is at the Green Ridge Healthcare Center, and he is doing what he has to do, which is some rehab work, physical therapy. And he was told to take it easy. And a friend of mine said, not being flip with this, but how much easier can Patrick take it?
Yeah, please. Oh, God.
So anyhow, he's there.
Is that Mr.?
No. Okay. Just he's grumping and groaning over there and can't wait to get out. But I told him this is his job. This is what he has to do right now.
Focus, focus.
Yes. And so he's, you know, mesmerizing everyone in the entire place. He's got a whole new audience now.
Well, yeah, of course. So Mr. Excitement is there.
Yes,
now, huh?
Mr. Excitement is holding court there.
Uh-huh.
So he's having a wonderful time with all the nurses, different ones on the shifts. And he found a buddy yesterday who's David, who is the activities director, who started talking with him with Shakespeare.
Oh, geez.
So they quoted a poem together.
Oh, boy.
And you know how he gets puddly when,
did he cry?
There he was.
Oh, man. Which one? Do you know which one?
I don't know.
Does he know any Edgar Allan Poe?
Yeah, he does.
Oh,
he knows
a lot
of them.
I'll have to throw a couple lines at that, too. Shakespearean expert, I am not. But Edgar Allan, I love.
Byron, he does. He quotes Byron. He quotes a whole bunch of people.
Okay.
But anyway, he asked him if he was into literature, and he said, of course, he said, I have my degree in English literature. And then they started on a whole path.
Okay.
So I think now he's very happy camper and everything is pretty good. So we're hoping that we don't have any more meltdowns and that he will continue to do what he's there to do. So I usually visit twice a day. Last night I snuck in some ice cream and that made him a happy, happy camper.
I'm sure.
So anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with one of our guest experts, Dr. Nicole DeNova. You're listening to The Laurie and Lynn Show.
It's Saturday morning with Laurie and Lynn. Now, back to Laurie and Lynn.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business.
And I'm Lynn Evans. I am the Managing Director of Women of Substance, LLC, which is a financial planning firm specifically for the financial needs of baby boomer women. And I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse, available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And we are here with one and a half of our...
Three quarters.
Well, okay, one and three quarters of our guest expert for this week, Dr. Nicole DeNova, who is the surgeon and owner of the Veterinary Referral and Emergency Center in Clark Summit, and Heather Lowe, who is the extern, is that what you called her?
She's in an externship, yes.
Okay, externship at the hospital. So welcome, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome.
So what are we going to talk about today?
Well, I do want to take a moment to actually make a quick announcement and acknowledgement. So several months back, Megan Leshinsky came in and did a session with you and talked about rehabilitation for animals and that she was in the midst of some study. So she just found out, I think it was only 2 days ago, but she took her exam and passed. So her year-long process of studying and preparing, it takes basically a year to get all these materials submitted so that you can even be accepted for the exam. And then she had to go down to Tennessee and sit for the exam. It was a 3-day grueling process. So her certification is that she now is a CCRP, which I think is Certified Canine Rehabilitation Practitioner.
Wow. Yay, Megan.
Yeah, so fantastic news. And in some point, probably coming towards 2019, we're hoping that the building expansion will start in earnest, and in that expansion will be a rehabilitation facility, and Megan's going to leave. That's the sad part. She's going to leave the surgery service, but she will be heading the rehab service, which we're very excited about because she's such a natural gift to that.
So. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yay.
Yes,
that's
here
great
we grow
news.
Again.
Yeah,
that's
here
great.
We grow again. That's right.
I love it. That is good.
And Heather is our native... who has come back to us to do a surgical externship, and she's now in her fourth year at Purdue, and will be graduating May of 2019.
Yep.
Yep,
wow.
That's great. Very exciting to have somebody come back and
it
spend some
nice
time with us.
It is nice to have somebody come back.
Absolutely.
It's
yeah.
a good thing.
No, she spent some summers with us, and how long did you work with us?
Just about a year.
Yep, and so she's now... hanging out and getting some experience in surgery, and we'll go back and do more surgical things, obviously, at Purdue, but I just wanted to bring her with, so.
Yay, well,
it's
welcome.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Welcome.
She's here, and she's we were talking about it, she's a Dunmore native, although we had to get through it, her father is a West Sider,
okay.
which we had to point out.
Okay.
Right, Heather? That's
yes,
it.
Correct.
That's all goes, all roads lead to West Side. That's how it goes. Lynn is not going to deny that.
It's Greek to me, but that's
I
okay.
know it is. Lynn, you didn't deny it, did you, Lynn?
No,
of course
not.
Okay, there you
no
go.
No way.
So what else is happening there?
Yeah, there's, you know, we are just the typical VREC, very busy, seeing lots of cases, lots of patients, lots of happy things, some very sad things.
Yeah.
But just, you know, plugging along and getting ready for a building expansion, really, we hope is going to break ground and take earnest in 2019. That's what we're working towards.
Can you talk about where it will go from the front into
sure.
the parking lot area, or how, or up, or what?
Yeah. So for those of you that know the sort of space within which the building sits, kind of on one end of a very elongated parking lot. So the expansion is going to go from where the current front doors are now.
Mm-hmm.
The doors will be moved kind of to the corner, so we'll have an angled entrance. The reception area will stay the same. What we use as our treatment area will just be dedicated to emergency and critical care. And then an expansion will go out into the parking lot. We'll still have more than enough parking,
yes.
thank goodness. But then that expansion will be basically where the referral services will be housed. And then we'll have a second floor for, you know, a conference room. Instead of going elsewhere for our continuing education, because we hold once a month continuing education seminars for the vets in the community, the region really. So instead of having everybody meet at a hotel or some kind of a venue, we'll have it there at the building. And then all of our advanced diagnostic equipment, things like MRI, CT, that will all get moved into the building. Instead of having an MRI trailer, we'll have the magnet moved in, and we'll have a full radiology suite on the end of the building. But it's, you know, the availability for us now finally to add in rehabilitation, dermatology, oncology, ophthalmology. So it all the things that we've really struggled because we've had to hold our breath because we don't have the space to house them at the moment, even though we could probably have them here. And, you know, it's been 10 years of having clients say, will you ever have that here? Yeah. And me saying, someday I will. Oh, we can't wait. So
10 years.
We're getting there.
I can't. Yeah.
I know. It's ridiculous, actually. I have to tell. Well, so we're coming up on our ninth, technically. Oh, still, 2020 will be 10 years, but I know. Where does time go?
Wow.
Yeah.
So, with this expansion, how long will it take before the building is done? Is it going to be like a multi-year thing?
Or? I don't think so. I would hope that, you know, it's within a year. That's always hard to say.
Good.
The existing building, you know, that was a bit crazy, and I credit all the people involved, but that was put together in 3 months. I mean, that was pretty crazed neck break pace, but this next thing, this next adventure, the building expansion, this is such a different type of beast, if you will, pun intended, that I would rather this be done just correctly and take our time. You know, this isn't about, I always joke with people, this isn't about, we're not putting in marble countertops.
Right,
we don't need that silliness.
Yeah.
This is about a functional working hospital. So whatever it takes. But I would hope by the end of the year.
Well, I hope you still have the lit paws on the side of the building.
Yes, so I just many more. I hope actually. Maybe I'll put some kitty paws in there somehow.
Yes, I want
some
kitty paws
or something.
But you know what? That building, because you know, I've been. It was the lodge, which was a huge, which adds because you're parking. As you said, you have more than ample parking because it was a nightclub kind of thing. You know, the lodge, which was great. Everybody, I mean, you know, truth be told,
I've heard many stories, not about you, but about people at the lodge.
It was one of
the bathroom
favorite
walls.
That too. But I love that place. And then Jim Dandy's, which also everybody still says, we wish Jim Dandy's would come back, you know, because it was great. Not there, because we don't want to take up your space, but the fact that it's there and you're right, like, the land part of that.
The location's phenomenal.
It's phenomenal, because it's so easy. Easy to get to, but then the ability for you to add out or up or both is tremendous because of how much space you have there. But that is perfect location.
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we're happy to be there physically. We're happy to be there as a group of people and doing what we're doing, and you know, everything's good.
You truly ran out of space. I mean, there were no question.
Probably about the second year, actually, we were elbow to elbow. But it also speaks to the group of people that we work with and how functional the building is. It's shy of 6,000 square foot, which when we really think of the numbers, you know, we function as if we're in a 20,000 square foot building. So,
Do you know what the square footage addition it will be?
Not in totality, but I think we're probably looking at somewhere around a 20,000 to 30,000 square foot building. So we're talking about beyond, tripling this.
Yeah.
But we need to, because you're talking about 5 or 6 different departments being added in, full radiology suite. Rehabilitation in itself, if we do this the right way, which is, of course, for
the
those people that know me, I do this, you know, 110%, it's going to be, so you're going to have underwater treadmills and an actual swimming pool for rehab. So there's a lot of things that go into it. So that rehab alone is a large, not just a financial investment, but just investment in the space and doing it correctly and creating something that the community can utilize. So,
how do you know about the demand for all those services? I mean, it could be something that's just simply anecdotal, you know, that somebody says, yeah, it'd be nice if you had that. Mm-hmm. But how do you measure demand for all those specialties that you're going to put in there?
There's a few kind of numerics that you can go by. Some of it's demographics, geography, all that, you know, background information. And some of it is also just, you know, people say, how did you know you could do what you've done already? A good example is our administrator, who comes from a long history of high corporate, you know, sort of previous life. And when she came on board, she said, how do you know you can have a second internist? And I kept saying, I just know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to tell you, but the business is there. We're waiting. It will expand. So with each person that you add, the business expands.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There is a demand because nobody, including myself or anybody in that building, want to take our own pets 2.5-3 hours somewhere else.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, whether you're going to another private practice outside of Philadelphia or you're going to an academic facility, we've all come from academia. That's what we are. So we've created as much of an academic facility as we can outside of academia. You know, and doing mm-hmm. things like having externs come out, and hopefully someday we'd like to build an internship program there at VREC.
That would be nice. Yeah,
so
it's mm-hmm. it's just amazing. I mean, credit to you, Nicole, for this thought making, and then it. But that old line, if you build it, they will come. I mean, obviously that's true. But you, what your thought was, and to actually make it happen and get it to where it is, and then all of the stuff you can continue to look forward to. That's just amazing.
Yeah, and it's. The other thing is I would never talk about a building expansion till I knew it was happening. Mm-hmm. I really don't like the announcement
yeah.
and it's
and
not gonna,
oh, it's not
right,
yeah.
exactly. So
yay.
But it's, you know, slow and steady wins the race,
you
and we
it.
Have such a great group of people, and the culture and philosophy is so healthy and happy. That's really what I think makes the difference.
Mm-hmm. It Aww. Does indeed. Yeah, that's all good news. I'm very happy to hear that.
This is the part where you have to say to Heather, why'd you go to vet school? I'm just kidding.
Heather, go. I said to Heather before, how did you know you wanted to be a vet, or why did you go? And she, go ahead, Heather. How did you know you wanted to be a vet?
I hate this question.
Cue, baby. There you go. Nicole's like, oh, don't say that on air. I'm thinking, we have to say, if Nicole prompted me, I gotta
yes,
go
you
for
do.
It. But what is what's the answer, even though you hate it? You hate the question. What's the answer that's true?
I just always remember, like, watching stuff on TV and just being, like, fascinated by it. So it just drew me in.
Mm-hmm. That's a good answer. That's
so
a good
how
answer.
Many, yeah, how many animals do you own?
I only have 2 dogs.
Oh, okay.
She's a busy vet student.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Don't
yeah,
forget.
Well,
yeah.
That's
enough.
Good.
So are you
how
a
do
dog
you like
person or a cat person?
Dog.
How do you like Purdue?
It's good.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
They're listening.
Yes,
be
they
careful.
Are. They are getting.
No, my friends want to hear this.
I think
no,
it's great.
No, it's definitely everyone there is nice. It's a good education.
Absolutely.
You get to do a lot of hands-on stuff, like first and second year, so it's good.
And do you think you'll come back to this area?
I don't know. Maybe.
No. Well, we'll see. You
we'll
never
see
know.
Where, yeah.
You never know.
Exactly.
The tides of medicine carry people very...
Everywhere.
Yeah,
I know. But you never know.
Yeah. So
but she wants to grow up to become a surgeon, which is an insane thing. I don't know what she's talking about.
yeah.
But she's doing a good job, so I thought I'd drag her in here with me.
Well, good luck to
yes.
you.
Thanks.
Luck.
We need veterinary surgeons.
Yes. Yay. Nicole, how can anyone get to talk to you to get your services? What is the best way for people to reach out?
Sure. So the phone number at the hospital is 570-587-7777. Easy enough.
Mm-hmm.
You can always go online. Our website is VREC, so Veterinary Referral Emergency Center, PA.com. We've got a Facebook page. There's a Glassdoor page, Instagram, pretty much you name it. We've got some social media connected to it, Twitter.
And the address is?
318 Northern Boulevard in Clark Summit. Excuse me, in South Abington Township.
I know. Well, thank you very much. And to you, Heather, good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And we will be back with, how about me, I'm going to say, Dr. Barbara Plucknett as our next guest expert. And we thank you again, Nicole and Heather. Good luck to you.
Thanks.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Laurie and Lynn Show.
It's Saturday morning with Laurie and Lynn. Now, back to Laurie and Lynn.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Laurie and Lynn Show. I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business.
And I am Lynn Evans. I am the managing director of a company called Women of Substance, which is a financial planning firm designed specifically for the financial needs of Baby Boomer Women. I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse, which is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And one of our two guests this week, is Dr. Barbara Plucknett, who is the owner of Advanced Gynecology Associates in Scranton. Welcome, Dr. Plucknett.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. Good morning. What shall we chat about today?
Well, there is a new medication on the market for endometriosis. Ooh. There's been an awful lot of ads on TV for endometriosis, you know, much more in the last couple of months than I had had seen in a long, long time. And so I'm sure that the ads were properly placed for the launching and the inauguration of this new medication, which became available August 2nd. So I thought we should touch base on endometriosis. Why are you seeing all these ads? What does it really mean? Who's at risk for it? And then, of course, we'll touch on the new medication that's out so that if there are people that think they have it, endometriosis, they can understand that there's a new option available for them. So endometriosis, most people that have heard of endometriosis understand it to be a condition associated with pelvic pain. Some people understand it to be a condition associated with infertility, as people that were not able to achieve pregnancy during their evaluation were found to have this thing called endometriosis. And so endometriosis is what I liken is that the inner lining of the uterus, so that lining that we shed every month for a menstrual cycle, that inner lining is called the endometrial lining. And the thought is that these endometrial or inner lining cells don't shed outwardly as they would during a menstrual cycle, but actually go to the inner side of the pelvis. So, you know, my best understanding to try to explain to people would be instead of the flow going outward, the flow goes inward via the tubes or some other mechanism. And then those cells, those endometrial cells, stick to or implant in the surface lining of the inside of the belly, the peritoneum. So these cells are then hormonally controlled every month. So when you would get your period, which is usually an estrogen-based triggered phenomenon, estrogen builds up that lining cells and progesterone takes them away. So when you would get your period, the cells inside the lining in the peritoneum would react just as they would like your menstrual flow would be. The problem is these cells, I liken them to a sticky substance. They like to create havoc on the inside. Sometimes they create scar tissue. Sometimes things stick to them. They pull things together. They draw things together. So in essence, they wreak havoc on the pelvis lining. And so some people that have endometriosis don't have any problems related to it. It's just an incidental finding, but that's not normally the case. Most people that have endometriosis have some form of a pelvic pain that can be worse with their menstrual cycle. Some people have painful intercourse. Other people have painful bowel movements or urination. And of course, I mentioned infertility. So in days of yore, when we were, you know, as a gynecologist, we do a lot of questioning about pelvic pain, and we do evaluations for pelvic pain. We do ultrasounds to make sure it's not anything else like ovaries or otherwise. We try to assess, does the bowel have a role in their pelvic pain? You know, do their bowels move normally or things of that sort? And it's kind of, endometriosis is a diagnosis of exclusion. When we've gone through everything else and we can't find another reason for why people have this pelvic pain, we think, oh, it might be endometriosis. And so really there's no imaging study or there's no test that you can undergo that would reliably tell you that you have endometriosis. It's really a diagnosis, you know, found by visualization of the inner pelvis. So you have to go in and look with a telescope, a laparoscope. You go through the belly button, so it's laparoscopic surgery. You go in and you assess the lining of the inner pelvis. So we look at the surface that overlies the uterus, the bladder, the tubes in the ovaries, and down over the bowel. And we look for these implants, which can range in size and color, but it's a disturbance of the peritoneal surface. So the surface is classically very smooth, similar color, and these lesions can be, you know, a light color, a dark color, blue color, almost black color, and these are the areas of irritation. And they can be, you know, causing surface irritation. They can be going deeper and involving nerves in the pelvis, but they create this pain. So classically, if we were to go in with a laparoscope and we would see these lesions, we would excise them or remove them at the time, and that's thought to be one method of treatment. Sometimes the lesions are so difficult, they're so large, or they're involving things like the bowel that you feel like you can't excise or you can't remove safely, and so then you would also think about medical therapy at that point. Now, there's some thought that when you've decided that the possibility of endometriosis exists, that you could treat empirically. You could treat based on your assessment that nothing else seems to be of abnormality, and you know, you could use medical therapy to try to see if you can suppress this endometrial disease. Now, I mentioned earlier that endometriosis, or the endometrial cells, are stimulated in growth by estrogen, your hormone estrogen. Mm-hmm. And so the idea about medical therapies are, if you could suppress the estrogen therapy, you should be suppressing any influence on these endometriosis areas. And so one of the main therapies for years has been an injection called Lupron. And Lupron is something that, as an injection, is a chemical that speaks to the pituitary center in your brain, and it tells it effectively to be in menopause. So it talks to the pituitary, it says, stop producing hormones, and the person is essentially in menopause from that point on. And the therapies usually last 3 to 6 months, with an injection every 3 months. And, of course, people on these medications go through menopause symptoms, and so we try to give another hormone, progesterone, to minimize those symptoms. So that injection works great. We know it works well, but it's an injection, and it does have menopausal symptoms. And so there's a company, AbbVie, who has a new product out called Oralisa, and Oralisa is the oral form of this medication that goes to the brain, talks to the pituitary, and says, okay, shut off the hormone production. The good part about the Oralisa is that it doesn't have all of the same side effects as menopause, so there's less of those symptoms, less of the needing of another medication for hot flashes and night sweats and things of that sort, but it does seem to be effective in controlling the endometriosis. So it is a daily medication, so it's not an injection, and you can use it for a longer period of time. The injection was usually, they suggested only 6 months, but now they're saying that you can use the daily tablets for up to 2 years. So again, we have a little bit of a longer period of time to help people with control of their symptoms. And there's even a stronger pill that can be used on a shorter duration if you feel you need a more intense course. So I think it's a great thing that they've come up with medication. Endometriosis, it's not a lot of people have it, but enough people have it that warrants, investigation and evaluation. And I think that this medication will have a good place in our treatment strategy.
But yeah, Barbara, go ahead, Laurie.
I was just going to say, it can be devastating to people who can't conceive due to being diagnosed with that, and painful as well. So painful on the physical side and the emotional side. My only thing is, real quick, Barb, when you said for someone's regular menstrual cycle, the lining sheds and it is, and that's what causes that. When you said it goes internal instead of external, then how do they also have their menstrual cycle? Like, I don't understand that part.
So they still have a period. So some of these cells, instead, it's like 100%, instead of 100% being expelled vaginally during your cycle, some of those cells must escape through the tubes. So they're still having periods, but somehow or other these inner lining cells are finding their way to the inner aspect of the pelvic peritoneum.
Okay.
And so that's one of the theories on how this whole process starts.
Lynn. Barbara, when you mentioned the Lutron, is that the name of
Lupron,
the...
Lupron, yes.
Lupron. Okay. You can now take it orally, and it will go 3 to 6 months or whatever it is, maybe a little longer. But that's really only treating the symptoms, right?
Well, not necessarily. So if you think that the whole disease process is because the estrogen is stimulating those cells to produce, grow, multiply, just as they would the inner lining of the uterus, if you're shutting off the estrogen supply, the theory is those cells are going to shrink down, quiet down, not have any reason to still be growing and multiplying and causing havoc. And so it's a suppressive type of medication. So if you're cutting off, for instance, the gas supply, then the car doesn't run. And it's the same idea. If we're cutting off the estrogen supply to the endometriosis, then the endometriosis implants could shrink or become quiet or stop causing grief or things of that sort. And we've seen that with the Lupron injection. And so this medication is simply a pill form of what we know can happen with the Lupron injection.
But then, after the 2 years, when you take that off, when you stop taking the medication, wouldn't those cells then just start to regenerate and come back again?
Yep, they can come back, and that's what happens with the Lupron. People do episodic use of Lupron because as soon as your estrogen kicks back in, you can start to stimulate those cells again. And so the idea is, you know, how do we keep the patients most comfortable for the longest period of time without subjecting them to, surgery after surgery after surgery? You know, there's those classic people with endometriosis that have had multiple laparoscopies and eventually end up with a hysterectomy with removal of the ovaries at any age. Then they're usually younger people. They have to take the ovaries out because that's where the estrogen's coming from. So it's not simply that the hysterectomy will cure them. They have to have their ovaries taken out. So they end up being menopausal in their 30s, and that has devastating outcomes. As we know, we try to keep our hormones as long as possible. So this makes it so that you can try to, keep things to a dull roar for as long of a period of time and minimize the effect of surgical intervention.
Okay. So is that available now?
Yes, it is available now. It was available as of August 2nd. Of course, with any new medications, not all insurances will be covering them. What they're recommending is that, they have coupons. They always have some way for the medications to be covered from the pharmaceutical companies. And so what they're recommending is, have the patients come in, see if it is approved by insurance. If it's not, we use the coupons. We see if we can get the trial started. As more and more people use the medication, it certainly will be covered by the pharmacies, but initially new medications are tough to get covered.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Barbara, how can people, women, find out more about this? How can they reach you?
So we are located, our office is across the street from Regional Hospital in Scranton. Our phone number is 570-344-9997 or online at drbarbarapluknett.com, and that's P-L-U-C-K-N-E-T-T.
Okay.
Always helpful, always useful, Barbara. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
We will see you. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend. Be safe and please be nice. Bye.
Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.